It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. We know what's going on. It's February 2nd. February 2nd. It's the second day of February 2021. I can't believe that January went away. Where did January go?
I was telling Ron earlier when we were setting up, I'm like, Ron, what happened? It's already February.
So, Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, Steve Johann, we are here as hosts every single week. This is the 173rd episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and we're glad that you're with us. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, Podomatic, MeWe, Gab, Rumble. I've lost track of how many. Steve's added a couple more, too. Let's just put it this way. No matter where you go to get podcasts, even if you've never had a podcast before,
and you're listening to one now,
we're there.
Yes.
We do thank you for liking and following our Facebook page. By the way, I got a note, a message, a secret ninja communication from Facebook today, and they said your Facebook page, the show page, is in danger of being restricted.
Oh.
And I went, why?
Why?
And they said, because it's in danger of being inauthentic. And I said, well, what do you mean by inauthentic? I actually got a hold of them.
Okay.
What do you mean by inauthentic? Because that, you know, it is what it is. It's the show page. We tell you it's for a podcast.
Right.
That's all it is. There's nothing else there. And it's completely transparent. So they haven't gotten back to me on that yet. But just in case you are watching this on YouTube, thank you for doing that. If you have difficulty finding the Facebook page, do not panic. I'll republish it. It's not going to go away.
No.
But in any case, this is our first segment. This is what we always do. The first segment out of the box is called Back to the Blacktop. And that is where Steve goes out and lays down in the middle of the freeway and catches stories as they roll by at 75 miles an hour.
Yes.
What did you catch this week?
Well, we got a few things this week of interest that our listeners might want to know about. First up is Cadillac has just revealed their new 2022 CT5 and CT4V Blackwing to the public. So I said, Blackwing. And these are their new performance sub-brands within the V series. And it fits nicely within. I went on their website and I said, well, how many cars do they actually produce? And they have six vehicles in their whole lineup, and four of which are SUVs.
Yeah, that's the market these days.
The market and the Escalade, and then the Monster Escalade, like two versions of that. And then these two.
That's the steroidalade.
Oh my gosh, the thing's like. And then they've got the two sedans fueled by gasoline, so they're all fueled by gasoline.
But what is the Black Wing? This is a new one.
This is a high performance version of the CT4V and the CT5V. So it's a more performance oriented package. You can go to their website and find out more about it. But I thought it was very interesting because about a month ago they were talking about how they're going to change their CTV and they're going to change their Cadillac into electrics. Well, I got a feeling that rumor is greatly exaggerated, and we're not going to see electric Cadillac versions of cars for any time soon because they're still full-blown on their gas-powered and now their performance versions. So we hear all this static about what they want to do, and I think that's to placate certain people. But the bottom line is,
In order to do something like that, we all know there has to be a market.
Oh, there has.
You're not going to release something that doesn't have a market because that's just a recipe for throwing money down the drain. If people aren't, if they've done pre-marketing surveys, you know that they've done test markets.
Yep.
If they can't sell it,
they're not going
to
sell it.
The days of the Edsel are long gone. People don't have that kind of money to waste on a car that's going to go away, he said.
No, and the fact is we've known that they've been trimming, everybody's been trimming their model lines. And then it seems like the microchip shortage has been a big problem within the auto industry. This means all new cars, as you know, Brady and Ron, are run and or operated by computer-aided technology.
And that's why we have cars that are pre-65.
Oh, that's right. See, we love the pre-computer chip cars. And anyway, so there's a big shortage, and it's been causing a lot of hiccups in the industry. The latest one is Ford. They're having to deal with a little bit of issues. But the bottom line is they're slowing down production in some lines. We've seen this in the other manufacturers, and it's going to continue to do this until the chip manufacturing comes back up to par.
Yeah.
And then Ford has revealed its plans to build its Mach-E battery-powered SUV in China.
Right. Why not?
The Model E models built in China will be sold there, but will have no effect on the plans to produce the same identical vehicle here in the United States in Michigan. So, right. Again, this is another initiative to keep the sales going in China, because that's where a lot of people have been basing their hopeful sales on. But we know last year and even the year before, sales were down in China overall. So,
sure.
But those things will rebound. And then it is official. We told you last week that National Highway Traffic Safety Administration had gone after Tesla. Well, Tesla has agreed to recall.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Now we can hear you. Sorry, were you trying to?
Has agreed to
produce the Muppet thing there.
Yep. So Tesla has finally agreed to recall 135,000 cars to replace the faulty touchscreens, which they acknowledge will eventually fail, causing loss of critical safety functions. So
the reason why they have cars built in China is because it's cheaper, right? That's the whole premise of going to China. Build them there, right?
Actually, the Mach-E is their battery-operated Ford SUV, and that's going to be made in China and sold in China. So they're not going to export it over here. They're going to create the same one here as well. It's just that China is the bigger is the bigger audience for that. And then so much like his predecessor, President Joe Biden has issued an executive order designed to strengthen Buy America, with a goal of creating more quality U.S. manufacturing jobs by directing more of the federal government agencies to buy goods and services made in USA. So, again, every president comes in the play. They talk, well, let's support America. So, in other words, all the federal government agencies will be buying U.S.-made vehicles and other ATVs and that kind of thing. So is that a dog I hear in the background there?
That is my dog.
I thought it was your stomach for a moment.
Well, no. See, what happens is
I thought it was something else, actually.
I have a plate of fish and chips here, and he's looking at it going,
gas.
Please. Would you think you'd like it here? Watch.
I thought
this.
You were squeaking him out there.
No, this is the best. Come here. Come up here.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to show it. You got to watch this on YouTube. He's got his there's the dog. Oh, there it is.
That was a magic trick.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
there's another one.
Come here. Got it.
Well, just when you thought Uber was hurting for money.
She can't get up on the bed.
Yep. So just when we thought Uber was hurting for money, we have found out that they have a lot of cash to throw around at stupid startups like this brand new startup called Drizly, Drizly.
Wait a minute now.
Drizly,
a booze delivery service.
Yes, I have a personal story.
At a price of $1.1 billion.
Yes. Now, why did you say stupid startup? I'm just curious.
Because they're basing this on the COVID, where people are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And they're seeking this. That ain't going to last that much longer in my book.
I'll tell you what. There are four
yesterday
web-based alcohol delivery and subscription outfits. Flaviar was the first one. And they concentrate on delivering you like a monthly or quarterly bottle of some, you know, new whiskey, bourbon, gin, tequila that you can try out. Drizly does the same. And I've actually used them. I wanted to see if I could get a bottle of X, and it works out good. It's not a bad thing. I don't know how long, but they'll get there.
Yeah, but for $1.1 billion, they got stupid money to spend on these new ideas. So
somebody could throw me money.
I know they have
wine clubs where you get a case of wine every month, and then you try the wine and you send in your opinion of it.
Yeah,
and then share it in the club.
Hey, we are going to have a really cool guest coming up. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got the finest automotive visual insanity. The legendary automotive artist, George Trosley, is going to be with us on the next segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Stick around.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Russ. This is the second segment and the windshield view. And tonight we're welcoming and very honored to have George Trosley on with us tonight, famous artist for Cartoons Magazine. Welcome, George.
Thank you. Welcome.
And more than just Cartoons Magazine, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've been doing this for a long time. Is it fair to say auto cartoonist?
Yes. Yes. I call it Hot Rod Cartoons.
I like that.
There you go.
On your website, it says custom car and truck portraits, anything that moves.
Yep.
So locomotives, wheelbarrow. Nah, just kidding. If it had a motor, I suppose.
Wheelbarrow.
That's great. I have a Hot Rod wheelbarrow. It's got flames and everything.
That's right. That's right. Well, I have to ask, I mean, it's kind of an obvious first question, but people with artistic talent seem to kind of have had artistic talent from the beginning. When did you know you wanted to draw cars or stuff that moves?
Not too long ago, my sister found a piece of paper that I have an older sister that was in with her stuff, and it was from me in fourth grade. And the question, of course, was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my answer was, I want to be a artist.
Nice. Well, there you go.
And my mother was constantly telling my brother and I, more telling us what to do and using the expression more specifically. So in this report, I said, I want to be a artist, more specifically, a cartoonist.
I have a question, George. Which one of you is Harold? And I know you're George and Harold. Which one is Crash? And which one is the other one, Crash and... Oh, I can't find it on my paper.
Bernie.
Crash
and Bernie. Crash and Bernie. Which was Crash and which was Bernie?
My brother was more like Crass, and I was more like Bernie, a little off the hook, and he would always sort of chain me in a little bit.
That's a shortened up version from Crash and Burn, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dennis Ellison was the editor of Cartoons at the time, and I wanted to call him Crash and Burn, and he said, we can't do that.
I like that better.
The Crass and Bernie.
Sure.
But I think one of the reasons they've always felt real to me was because they were based on my brother and I.
That's awesome.
His personality much different than mine. I was always quick with ideas. We built model cars together, and I would mold one into the other. But he would sit with sandpaper, emery paper, and sand them and make them. We won a lot of prizes in model car thing.
Wow.
You know, it's funny. So many of us grew up or, you know, had as part of our activity growing up was making the car models, Revell and all the rest of them, you know.
3-in-1 AMT.
Sure, yep. Absolutely. Yep. And there's other stories about, you know, model glue, but that's a whole separate deal. but, you know, taking those kits and pulling the stuff off of the little frame and building the kits was one thing, but it always kind of struck me as fun to mess with them, to like, well, what would happen if I chop the top or, you know, change the fender or something? And yeah. I, full disclosure, I was horrible at it, but it was fun. It was fun to do something a little bit different. And I think that, I don't know about Ron and Steve. I know Steve's got a ton of models, but a lot of mine, the ones that I've finished that didn't turn out as well as I liked, those are the ones that ended up getting pushed down the hill with firecrackers in them and lighter fluid and stuff.
Definitely.
A lot of that too.
We all did that.
I think we've all done that. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
so I have to know, what was your first paid auto cartoonist gig?
I went to art school and then I got a job in a Philadelphia art studio. And we did a lot of work. We worked nights, weekends, but somehow I found time to do. I went to there was a local magazine store that had used magazines. And if you had to do something, artwork on a Hunter or something like that, you'd go get a whole bunch of Sports Illustrated magazines.
Oh, right. Okay.
They were already off the market, so they were cheap, like 15 cents a piece.
Yeah.
And I was there doing just that for a job I was working on. And I walked past a whole stack of cartoons.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it in years. I bought every one they had.
Nice.
And even though I was so busy, I did a couple pages for Hot Rod Cartoons, and he bought them.
Nice.
$75 a page. And on the strength of that,
big money.
I quit this big-time art studio job in Philadelphia.
Nice.
To go off and do that.
That's pretty cool.
So now
it worked out.
There's a new vitalization of the Cartoons magazine coming out. And they're like Crash and Burn. Is there going to be any new characters in that magazine?
Yes. He has me doing Crash and Bernie for that. He wanted two other characters. So I came up with a guy and a girl who build cars together. Nice. She does interiors and pinstriping, and he's the meat and muscle of the team. And they're called Deuce and Pinstripe.
Oh, great name.
Great
she
name.
She is Pinstripe.
I like it.
Nice.
And they appear in the new cartoon.
Very cool. We have Mark Mathot was on with us three weeks ago.
Wow.
Not too long. Yeah. And of course, Steve and I and Ron too, we're all fans of the magazine and have been, you know, way back when.
For years.
And, you know, between your style of stuff and, you know, the Ratfink stuff and all of that hyper cartoonish art, it stimulated me when I was, you know, growing up. I built motorcycles for years, and you know, a lot of that stuff is kind of, I think that's where the long front end choppers and stuff came from.
Did you read Cycle Tunes?
Oh, of course I read Cycle Tunes. I have tattoos of Cycle Tunes. Are you kidding me? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, my favorite of the one of my favorite cartoons was the old guy with the mustache and the little critter
guy. Rider and Old Poop.
Yes, yep. The little critters that were always doing their things, and I love that. I've got several copies.
I used to think Old Coot was really cool. Now I am one.
Yes. So you're pretty cool. You're pretty cool.
It happens.
Maybe, yeah.
So who was the artist that did that? And did you work right alongside him?
Hog Rider was done by a number of people, but I think one was Earl McCarthy. And Nelson Dewey did it for a while. It was more of the magazine's characters than any individual artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and pull up my copies, which are at home in a box.
Yeah. Now, quick survey. Here's a poll. We can take this one right now. Of the four of us, well, George, you don't count because you already did them. Who took those cartoons and traced them, trying to have some semblance of the same skill? Because I said that's really cool, maybe I can learn how to draw that. And the tracing, it wasn't really, I mean, it's not drawing, you know, it's just following a pattern.
It's a good way to pick up some tricks,
I guess. I was never really good at it. In fact, today art is not one of my strong suits. The only thing I can really draw is Fred Flintstone.
I didn't trace them. I tried to freehand and draw them from what I saw.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to draw what you see, but with practice, you can get to it.
Yeah.
Any of you guys remember when cartoons was digest size?
No, mine was the big, tall ones.
It started out like Rod and Custom was digest size. Yeah. A lot of them were.
Yeah.
And some of the earlier issues of cartoons were digest size.
Yep.
And I wanted to look at them in school, but I knew I'd get in trouble. So I knew what I was doing. I destroyed my copy of the digest size cartoons by drilling holes in them so they would fit in my loose leaf notebooks. So I could look like I was studying the imports and exports of Brazil.
Of course.
I was actually reading PNLR. And I still have those small copies, covered one.
Well, even with holes in, they're probably worth something.
Three-hole punch, sure.
Yeah, well, a punch wouldn't go through it.
Yeah,
so I went down to the garage and used a chlorine drill.
That's the best.
Well,
I went for the stick it inside a book approach. Wasn't real good, but you know, the book was a little bigger, and so you could, you know, for a while, but the teacher caught on pretty quick.
Right. Most and the drawing made me look like I was taking notes.
Always good. Yeah.
Then I'd get moved to the front of the class when I was be discovered, and that'd be the end of that.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the stuff on your website for sure. But we got the next segment coming up, and we're going to stop and pay the bills. George Trosley will be back on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Stick with us. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are. We're back in the Vehicle City with a second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. In our conversation with automotive cartoonist George Trosley continues, and George, I was one of those guys who freehanded everything, and I've said the story before on the show, but I would take and I would look at it, and I would create my own cars with the wheelies and everything, and then I took that paper and I traced it on carbon paper onto white T-shirts. And then I had a special, it was a cloth ink. It was my mom had got me something to do these trains with. And I had a bunch of this tube left over. So I would trace around after my own thing, and we'd wash it, and all of a sudden I had my own little black and white image of a cartoon that I made, and I had a couple, two or three of those things, and I was like the kid on the block that did all that kind of stuff. So
that's cool.
I got out of that was, you're old enough to have used carbon paper.
Yes, yes. Yes. Well,
the local Buten store carried airbrushes.
Oh, yeah.
So I cut lawns and stuff, and I kept going back.
Yeah.
And finally, I got an airbrush and started airbrushing t-shirts. You bring the shirt, I'll put a design on it.
Very cool.
You know, there used to be booths and vendors, guys at the county fairs and stuff like that, who would airbrush a shirt. Yeah. And, man, that was the thing. And, of course, Dayglow, while they were doing it.
I saw Roth at a Philadelphia car show.
Did you? Airbrushing shirts?
I went with my buddy and my brother, and they walked around at the car show, and I sat on the concrete behind Roth and watched him. And when he'd be changing from one color to another, he'd blow air out of the airbrush.
Sure.
And I was there almost all day, so he would turn around and blow air in my face. You still there, kid? Yeah, I'm here as long as you are.
Yeah, wow. That's cool.
He was my hero.
Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, how can you not?
Yes.
Isn't next week we've got Little Roth on the show?
Yeah,
we got
Dennis Roth on next week on the show.
That we'll tell that story.
Yeah.
Maybe
George,
Ed told his kid.
When you did your shirts, what kind of ink do you use on the shirts using the airbrush and that didn't wash out? What would you use?
Well, at first, what I grabbed was liquid shoe polish. But not only did it semi wash out, but it turned brown.
Yeah.
But then
I
got some regular good ink, some colors, and people I didn't even know would come up to my house and, you the guy that does these t-shirts? And I'd say, yeah. I swiped Mouse's. You remember the t-shirt artist Mouse?
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah.
He had a t-shirt design that was an eyeball on a fork.
Okay.
And it said above it, it said pass the, and underneath of it, it said mustard. And I would send away for those things, and I'd hand, if somebody come up, what do you got? And I'd hand Mouse's catalog and Roth's catalog, and they'd pick something out, and you'd be surprised how many pass the mustards I did.
Wow.
And
this kid brought a white breaker for school, like a windbreaker.
Yeah.
And he had me put that on the back. And later on that evening, when I was about to go to bed, there was a pounding on our front door. It was the mother of this kid who had just bought the shirt, screaming at my mother, look what your son did. And the kid said that I took his jacket and put that on it, and he had nothing to do with it. My mother explained, and I explained that he had actually paid me like a buck to do that. And he was in the car, so she was screaming all the way down our steps to the car, screaming at him. And I had just gotten some Dayglow, so there was Dayglow involved as well.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
She was angry.
You know, between Roth and Mouse and you and Von Dutch, I think, that's like the four horsemen of t-shirt art, for most of my growing up.
And I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's an advantage to that.
So
congratulations, you made it.
Yeah.
So stepping back into the 70s, which is when I really picked up on the cartoons, and you were a mainstay, you also were doing cartoons for some of the other hot rod commodities and Peterson Publishing and that kind of thing.
Yes.
What other of the car magazines were you doing artwork for?
I sold some one panel cartoons to Rod and Custom. I often would do, they'd have a technical article and they'd use the photo they were going to use as the lead photo in the process of showing you how to do this. And they would have me do an illustration for that, where the guy's doing it wrong, or he's just drilled through the seed or something. And that was kind of popular. I did a lot of that.
And did you ever do anything for like some of the other magazines? Because Mad Magazine was huge and Cracked and all those kind of things. And then there was a fairly other group.
I never sent anything to them. I just thought they were out of my range.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And they were probably going, why doesn't this guy send us stuff? I mean, we'd really like to have
it. Yeah. Eventually, after cartoons went under, Carcraft picked up Crass and Bernie.
Yeah.
and it ran in there for the length of the car craft.
Until it went out, yeah.
Yeah, until it went under, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any illustrations for, like, you know, Playboy or Hustler? Or?
I did a lot of stuff for Hustler, still do.
Right on.
I was trying to get into Playboy. Most artists are trying to get into Playboy. Sure. And I was starting to get into their magazine called We, O-U-I.
Okay.
It was supposed to look like a European magazine.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of no-caption cartoons. And in Europe, there's a lot of no-caption cartoons in magazines because of the variety of languages in every country. Mm-hmm. So I was creeping up to do that when Hustler came along. And they wanted me to work for them. And I thought, no way, I'm almost in Playboy, my goal. So my wife was pregnant with our daughter, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law would take any excuse to stop by as the pregnancy got toward the end, see how it was going. And he came up into my studio and heard me yelling at the Hustler guy, leave me alone, please don't call me anymore. And he was a cartoonist too, so he understood about the Playboy thing.
Sure.
So my father-in-law said, who are you screaming at, when I got off the phone? And I showed him what they were offering me. And they were offering me a contract to send them 25 cartoons. They'd pay me a check. But part of the contract, as he's reading it, is for 3 years, a 20% increase each year.
That's
and he
nice.
Said, nobody gets that. Sign this. Take it. Yeah. Calculator. Run. And he showed me what I'd be making next year and what I'd be making the year after that. He said, sign that before they change their mind.
20% of each total. That adds up pretty quick.
It did. And when he told me that, it really shocked me. I hadn't even taken the time to see what it would amount to. I just didn't. I'm almost in Playboy. I want to meet Hefner, go to the mansion. Yeah. I used to always see Shel Silverstein at the mansion in the magazine, who was a big cartoonist for them.
Oh, yeah. And a songwriter and a bunch of other stuff.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I still have a copy of Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout Would Not Take the Garbage Out.
Yes.
And that goes back a long ways.
It does.
Was
it
that
does.
From
so
your
you in a vi- so you're in a vill- car club called the Village Vandals, is that right?
No.
No.
At one point I bought a 55 Ford with a 312 T-Bird engine in it. And I immediately took it home, jacked it up, and reversed the springs so it had an extremely wild rake. You know, on those Fords, you could pop the spring thing around, and it would give you 3-4 inches in the back. And on the trunk lid, I lettered Village Vandal.
Okay.
And my mother was trying to go along with all this crap until she saw that.
Well, we have a car club called the Rat Bastards, and it's on the back of my car.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of that,
you need to get your car done up by George.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. Yeah,
he offers it on his website.
On the on the website, which is now I put the website up here. Isn't it Trosley.com? No.
I put GeorgeTrosley.com.
GeorgeTrosley.com. Yeah, we've got it on our page. We're going to put it on the website. But you will do a cartoon of somebody's vehicle if they send you a shot, right?
It's one of my favorite things to do. Often it's awesome. A wife who's getting it for a husband.
Yeah.
And I always include an 8.5 by, they're 11 by 14, but I always include, I get one for myself, an 8.5 by 11 at the local Staples.
Right.
And I always include one with the job. And often that guy has a scanner that's 8.5 by 11 and will send it to all his friends.
Oh yeah.
Look what I just got. But often it's a wife sees some other guy got it and then asks that wife, where did you get that?
Sure.
And at Christmas time, we do a lot of car portraits.
What I'd like do is take a picture of each one of our car club members' cars and do 12 of them and make a calendar and then sell the proceeds to our charity, which is going to be.
There you go.
That sounds cool.
Something you'd be interested in doing, George?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I'll start getting my thumb everything.
Oh, you're warping out, Ron.
Warping out.
Is that what you call it?
Every once in a while, Ron's internet warps out a little bit. Whatever it was, the last thing you said, I'm sure it was really cool, but we didn't hear it.
get a picture of each club member's card and send to George to have a calendar made for our charity.
Yeah, just go online and you'll go to his website, Ron, and see what he charges and all that. So he'll do that.
I got to get the pictures first and talk to the club members.
One of my favorite things to do, because the guys, they'll call me, they'll go, I love this.
I will.
Never hear that. And I know where he's coming from. I own a 39 Ford two-door sedan, so I know where his heart is, no matter what he's driving, you know?
Right on.
Well, I got to tell you, of all of the stuff that you have done, I mean, I'm sure people have favorites and I just like the style, but my all-time favorite is Stress Management University.
Wow, yes.
And it's because I spent a lot of years in the corporate business before I started doing this, and they say, you know, you managed to remain pretty calm in the midst of all of this. I says, I got a master's degree from Stress Management University. And every once in a while, somebody would get it, you know, the thing like, okay, we're going to be friends. I can tell.
That's good.
If you haven't seen, you should go to the website and check it out. You'll understand why I like it. It's a great piece of work. I'm a Willys fan anyway. So, you know,
that is funny. So now how many, so you do your magazines, you do the cartoons, and you also do the individualized posters for people, which, by the way, folks, it has cartoons on it, so it's really cool. So it looks
car on a cartoon stuff.
Right. But nice. If you wanted to
not, they haven't stopped me yet. Nobody has stopped me yet.
But if somebody said, no, I don't want that on there, and like what Ron said, maybe they do it up and they do their own, put their logo on there. You'd work with them to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
We do a lot of car show T-shirts, too.
Yeah.
Okay. The art for that.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Ron's club has a show every year. It's a big one called the Infestation. And you can imagine, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes with that. That might be a fun thing to do. We should see if we can come up with a, I mean, you got the logo and everything. Maybe that'd be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
We'll be following up.
Yeah, you're kidding.
So now what has probably been one of your, do you have like any highlighted art pieces or artwork that you got to do? I mean, the fact is you're, there you go. There's the Trosley right there. you've done all this stuff. What would probably you say are some of your favorite panels or projects you've done throughout your life?
I think one of the things I've gotten a lot of satisfaction from is the Crass and Bernie series. Because I base it on my brother and I, we had different personalities, and it makes them seem real. So when I throw them into a situation, I know how one of them will act. And then I start laughing. I go, I don't know what Bernie's going to do when he sees that, you know. So that helps a lot. That has really brought them to life to me, and hopefully to other people who read it. I think the stories are the best if they have a nice kick to them. I shouldn't admit it, but often I'll tell my wife a story. And she won't laugh or say anything. She'll say, how about if Crass bought the car and Bernie was away at a car show? He didn't know he bought the car. You know what I mean? And she'll make this little change in the story.
Nice.
That'll make it so much better. And I will sign my name to it and take full credit for the idea.
Well, sure. You ever thought about this? You're taking all the Crass and Bernie stories together and put your own book together.
Well, if you go to our website, we have book one and book two.
Yeah, already. Books and CDs both.
Half an inch thick. And on CD, too.
Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
all the, right. That's I'm going to get that.
That's the trick is to take your compiled many panels and create a book out of them. And eventually I'll do that with all my newsletters and make a book out of it and sell it. But that's writing versus just illustration. So. That is really cool. So when your career has spanned what, four decades? It was in the 70s. Did you really start in the 70s is what I would say that you came on board with cartoons?
I think I was about when I was telling that story about quitting a really good art studio job.
Right.
I think I was 22 or 23. How old was I, Susan? Yeah. No. No, I had, we weren't even married when I came up with Crass and Bernie. But I would say it was around 23, and I'm 73 now. So that's...
There is our music, and I have to say thanks so much for being on here, George. And we will definitely have you back on again.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrific. For sure.
We'll be right back with more of the show.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past? They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential, where we take another trip down Lance Lambert's history book with Fenders, Fins, and Friends.
Lance,
take a trip down Lance Lambert's memory flogger. I don't know.
Lane. He's only got his car on it right now.
Well, that's true. So this one, actually, if you know Lance, you kind of know that the 80s was a big time in his life. Let's just say that.
80s, but it was the like the
80s. 60s. No, the 80s was a big time. But the 80s was not a big time for car design. So the name of the story is Ugly 80s. And it goes, my wife and daughter no longer have any respect for me. They also think I'm nuts. Lance, all your friends think you're nuts.
But thank you
for the words right out of my mouth.
I was, you know, over the past few years, I've taken an interest in American cars of the 1980s. This may be due to too much tofu in my diet, eating lead bicycle paint as a child, or having grown up in Tacoma. Okay, I'm not going to touch any of those. Whatever the cause, it's there. An appreciation of cars that are not really old, but are definitely no longer newer. The 1988 Pontiac Fiero GT I recently purchased is a good example. This car is in excellent condition, midlife crisis red, and best of all, cheap. For less than the cost of a week's vacation, I have a flashy go-kart that gets me from point A to point B in fun style. The design has encouraged a few of the vehicle challenge to ask, is that a Ferrari?
Vehicle challenged, yes.
No, it causes my daughter enough embarrassment to result in her never asking me to give her a ride anywhere, and my wife never asks to borrow that car. The Fiero soon had a garage made when I saw a 1988 Saline Mustang for sale at a very reasonable price. It seems that the seller had some law enforcement problems that resulted in his need to immediately sell the car. We may know people like that.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Lance does.
Lance does. So Saline Mustangs, by the way, they're Mustangs that race car builder Steve Saline modifies by adding racing suspension and heavy-duty brake systems and high-performance engines, tuning, custom interiors.
Car.
Yeah, basically, it's a shell that he put together. And it's very cool. We'll start with that.
Yep.
Stuff that's, you know, kind of screams, hey, don't mess with me, you know? Modifications that let you sit at the stoplight and kind of smirk waiting for somebody to come up. So my wife's reaction when I arrived home with Steve's creation was, I'm going to have to trust you on this one. Our daughter, never at a loss for words, resounded with a heartwarming, Dad, that looks like the kind of car a drunken 16-year-old kid would get arrested in. How dare she say such a thing? The seller was at least 20 years old. And you have to remember, Lance bought it. So what does that say?
Oh, yes.
Was
recently,
he drunk?
My daughter... Well, he's more than 16. We know that. Recently, my daughter and I were having... We're turning from a dropping off her much cooler, by her standards, Saab for repairs. I had a bathtub once. And we passed a 1987 Cadillac Elante. Now, I commented that I thought they were really beautifully designed cars, and my daughter went a bit crazy on me. Dad, that car is really ugly. What happened to you? You used to buy only really cool cars from the 50s, and now you're buying these awful cars from the 80s. These remarks are coming from someone who drives a Saab, a car that is a pleasure to drive as long as you are of Swedish descent and enjoy driving a car that has every switch, dial, and gizmo in the wrong place. Clearly, you've never driven a Citroen. I relayed this incident to my wife, who immediately chimed in that she fully agreed with Saab Girl and wanted to know if my years of collector car exhaust exposure have resulted in some sort of right brain malfunction. Here's the way I see it. An interesting American car manufactured in the 80s is cheap, between three and six grand for the best one in the state. Plentiful, you can drive by any really used car lot and take your pick, and very unlikely to be stolen by anyone.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Yes. I've not heard that Saabs are a hot item in the Grand Theft Auto community. They're not.
Uh-uh.
You know, one of my buddies that I grew up with had for years a Saab 900S. And if you know the car, you know what it's about and you know what sort of, you know, performance. They were actually not a bad car performance wise, but they were the weirdest looking cars that.
A frog.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, it's just a weird looking car.
Didn't they make like a camper you could fit into it, pull in and be on the, turn into a camper?
That was the previous model. The 900F was actually, I want to say it was like an 285, somewhere in that neck of the woods. We can put a picture of it up on the Facebook site. But
have you noticed that
you get a twitch when you look at them? And
you don't see any 80s cars on the road anymore, not so many. Ever, hardly ever.
My son's 89 Crown Vic.
Yeah, 89 is almost a 70.
It is. The thing's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah, it has its own.
It's pretty cool, too. It's pretty cool.
But you know, my sister got my dad's, and I don't know what, it's a Saab, and I would say it's probably a mid-90s or early 2000s, whatever, four-door. And she got it, and she drove it from Squim back to Shelton, and she had been dropped off by a friend who was in front of her, and she pulled over, and she was telling me, boy, that thing really kicks it up. And so I said, so what's the speed limit? Oh, 160 miles an hour on that thing. Because it's a turbo four, but the thing just blows.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's now been sitting the whole time because she's got an electrical issue. And she can't figure out. It's doing a draw from, and she's down in Shelton, and there's no one nearby all. It works on those things. And my dad was saying
the whole thing about British cars and their electrical systems and Lucas, the Prince of Darkness. Okay. Saab took it to the next level.
Yeah,
they're very complex.
Because it drains the battery. After it sits a couple, 3 days, the battery gets drained out.
Yeah, it could be.
And, no. I mean, now I'm talking about my sister's car.
Oh, I believe you. I'm just saying it's endemic of their system.
Yeah, it is.
Not surprising at all.
And it was a great car.
My mom had a 77 Volvo, and it was $800 for the carburetor for the dang thing. It's still sitting there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Volvo was always about being a safe car. That's what their selling point was.
Well, they came out with
it's worth every penny because it's safe.
Yes. Yes. Ugly, but safe.
Yeah. Well, Ron, you I know we're going to get into the next section and you're going to talk about it, but you've got there's an event coming up. So why don't you just post?
Oh, yeah.
Show us the video right now.
Is there a video?
Not a video.
Well,
but
it's not. It's just a picture of it. It's down in where my Oldsmobile is down in
Chehalis.
Chehalis.
Yeah.
Actually, Centralia, just before, you take the same exit, you're going to go to the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yes.
There's a racetrack there.
Yes, there is.
And for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but here is the, I don't know if you can see that there.
Yeah. Kind of says Swap Meet, South Sound Swap Meet. We're gonna pull a screenshot of that and put it on the page so that you can all read it. It looks pretty good, though. There's a sign up for membership.
It's Saturday, and February 20th.
Yep.
9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sellers, $30 for entry.
Nice.
At 8 p.m., 8:30 a.m. And then buyers, $5 an entry at 9 a.m. Membership sign up at the bucket.
Well, our guy's out.
9 a.m.
That's cool.
Cool.
For all of our people around the United States, you don't know where that's at, but it's a really cool little township.
If you're in the Puget Sound area, it's in central western Washington,
south of Seattle,
100 miles.
Yeah,
just about 100 miles south of Seattle.
About midway between Portland and Seattle.
Literally midway.
And it's actually a really pretty part of the state. And it's very
open. They don't go after the mask and all that crap down there.
It rains constantly.
Oh my gosh. And
great deals. Great deals at swap meets. You're going to have great deals when it's raining. Let me tell you what, it's time to go.
Absolutely.
Your umbrella.
Yeah. We got to thank Lance again for doing his thing. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course, a vintage vehicle show. You can get all of Lance Lambert's books and we read them here on the show.
I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can.
This is where we talk about upcoming events. Ron shared one with us just before the break. We also have the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. And this week, it is a very good one, mainly because even Nathan didn't get the right answer. We didn't get a right answer. Oh, I had like 9 or 10 people who danced around it. But I mean, maybe the way I phrased it, I don't think so. But the question was, this is a salute to the stylist of almost every Chrysler cab forward and curvy design. And the question was, who was the stylist? Now, a lot of people said Lee Iacocca. Well, Lee was in charge of Chrysler at the time all this was happening, but he wasn't the stylist. He was not the design guy. He was the CEO. So, and he wasn't responsible for those designs. He signed off on them. But the guy who actually did the designs was Tom Gale.
Oh, man.
And it's a kind of an obscure piece of trivia, but he's true. He with all of the cab forward stuff, the curved styling on the new minivans, he was responsible for the styling on the Viper. And that's a pretty swoopy piece of work. So Tom Gale was the answer. Not even Nathan got the answer.
Wow.
But that's okay. Wow. We have a lot of fun with this question, and sometimes we get some really interesting side answers, too. The coolest one I said was somebody guessed Harley Earl. Now, Harley was a heck of a designer, but he was a GM guy.
Oh, so, that's right. Yep.
Not Chrysler. Anyway, next week's question is a good one. Right around the end of World War II, all right? There were lots of technological advances because of wartime technology. Lots of things that came out of the military began to be showing up in cars and everything. But there was one. Now, World War II ended in 1945. There was a really cool technological advance that started being stock on cars in 1946, and it has the cachet of not being anything that came from the war, not even close. Do you know what it is? Maybe you do. Give us a call an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to the Facebook page and put an answer down there. You can text or message us. Either way, it's all just fine. And who knows? Maybe you get your name put on the certificate of the 8x10 glossy of Horsepower Chrome and Rust's barn find dust,
yes.
Which, as we know, if you sprinkle it on your car, it becomes worth 4 times as much because people think you found it in a barn. There it is. Steve has it as we speak. Now, Ron spent just before the break. Ron was talking about an event that's coming up in Centralia, Chehalis, which is in the central part of Western Washington, about 100 miles south of Seattle. If you're anywhere close and you want to have fun, February 20th is the date, and it's the South Sound Swap Meet. Is that right, Ron?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's correct.
Bound to be cool. And swap meets in general. You know, we're kind of hitting that time of the year when the parts of the country that don't have sun, maybe not such car shows, and some people are still semi-locked down, but swap meets are getting started, and stuff like that is happening.
Yep.
So if you have one that you'd like us to talk about, make sure you send it in to us. You can email us again, or you can send us a Facebook Messenger or an Instagram or something like that. We'll be happy to talk about an event in your neck of the woods. The show is heard all over the country and in several foreign countries. I got an email, well, not an email. I got a Facebook Messenger from a guy in Great Britain.
Oh,
and
cool.
Two guys from Australia cool. who pick up the show on their, you know, cable down there. So we're cool. glad to have you out there. Really appreciate the fact that you spend any time with us at all. We have fun doing it.
Yep.
Every week I look at and see if there's something new in behind Ron in his garage. It's the same trophies. Spring is coming. You're going to have to put something else back there.
What's that thing that's lit up?
What's that thing that's lit up right behind your head?
That right there?
That one. Yeah.
That one there? That's a skull. Yeah.
Skull head.
Oh, very nice. Oh, it's lit up. I like that. I couldn't figure it out because it's far enough back that I couldn't see it. That's kind of cool. All right.
Let me turn it off here.
Oh,
I see it better with the power off.
Ah.
Got this Tesla battery in it here.
It's a Tesla battery. Ooh, cool. Hey, we reach over 1 million enthusiasts every week. We're really glad that you stopped by to take time. It's great to talk with George Trosley this week. You go to his site, georgetrosley.com, and check out all the cartoons that he does. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm still Brady Wright saying, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. This is Horsepower Chrome and Rust.